Now it's a bang pass out to the right point. Shot, score! Tipped in front. Erik Karlsson shot it from the right point. Fleury stayed upright, and somebody tipped it out in front, and it got through. Ottawa back in the lead at 5-4.
Yeah, that wasn't much fun to listen to. Friday night, the Vegas Golden Knights dropped their third straight. We'll talk a lot about that. This is Out of Line. So here we go on a Sunday morning. I am Brian Feldman on your right on my radio dial. We have Missy Lynn on your left. And all over the board is Jose Valonte. And he is going to be taking care of our Facebook Live stuff today. Make it easy on us. Keep our hands free. Behind the big board, Bobby Machado, longtime producer here at Lotus Broadcasting. We've got a good lineup for you today. And just to check us out again, the show's Out of Line. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Out of Line, 1340 AM. And you can also like our Facebook page, which is simply called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. And listen, without you, there's no show. So do me a favor. If you feel like it, pick up the phone, give us a call. If Bobby feels like it, he'll patch you through. If he doesn't, he won't. It's that simple. The number's 876-1340. Oh. That's okay.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Missy. There we go.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University and South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to watch every game. In studio again, we talked about everyone who's joining us, but check out who is joining us over the phone lines shortly. UNLV has a 5-game losing streak. The Vegas Golden Knights, a 3-game losing streak. Bernie Fratto, host of Rebel Minute on ESPN Radio, will join to talk about the Mountain West Tournament coming up and these Rebels. Also, Nightcap with goalie Marc-Andre Fleury and Ken Cal, longtime radio voice of the Detroit Red Wings. And the Pennzoil 400 gets underway at Las Vegas Motor Speedway in about 4.5 hours from right now. Me and Missy, Lynn, and Jose will be there hooking up some Facebook Live. Out of Line from behind the Las Vegas sports scene. Definitely check that out a little bit later. And the best and worst part of the show is, again, we are broadcasting live on Facebook. You can check us out right now. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. Yes, that means they are open 24 hours a day and you can enroll anytime. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. For more information, go to bubbysuniversity.com. Oh, that was you again. Okay. I think we're playing. You got it? Okay.
Tough pill to swallow because it's the fifth pill in a row. But I thought they played well. I thought the Aggies played well. And so you got to tip your hats off to them and say, hey, okay, we got to look forward to this next part of the season, which is the postseason. And it's a brand new opportunity, hopefully a brand new beginning. And, you know, these guys have got to dig down deep and make sure that they're mentally, emotionally in the right place, and they put these games to bed so that they can move forward. And I think that they'll do that. And even last year's team, I thought they fought like the Dickens the first half against San Diego State. And, you know, when you get into one-and-done scenario, all the previous games kind of go out the window, and that's why they're Cinderellas, and that's why you see it every year, and that's why our sport is so special. So we're hopeful that we could be one of those teams this year.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
And it is a fact that UNLV, by the way, will be playing on Wednesday in the buy-in game, calling it the play-in game, at the Thomas and Mack Center, 11 o'clock Wednesday morning against Air Force, because they took one on the chin yesterday again.
That was disastrous.
Against Utah. Yeah, 5 straight losses to end the season. It's sad. I said that they were going to win 19 games on the year. Well,
you're hitting it on the head.
That was like 4-5 games ago. They'd already won 19. I thought, wow, they're going to exceed what I thought, and I was really excited about it.
Thanks,
now,
Brian, it's your fault.
Yeah, well,
it's not the team's fault. It's my fault. Brian,
it's my fault. It's my fault. So, we got a little problem with the phone lines here, I think, out there. Bernie, if you're listening, I'm trying to text him, man. We're having a little issue with the phone line. I'm going to have to get a hold of Ken Cal, too. So tell him to try calling in. I don't know if that'll work, though. But I told him it doesn't work. Hey, We'll work on it. Bernie Fratto, if we get the phone lines working, which it doesn't look like that, might not happen today. I shouldn't say it doesn't. It does. It might not happen. It really might. So, Bernie, if you're out there, brother, I really wanted you to join to talk about UNLV, but I don't know if that's going to happen this morning. So I guess we'll do that here. I'm going to turn on my clicker. Oh, Bernie's saying what number, so I got to text that in there. Talk, Missy, talk so I can do something here. Go ahead, talk about the game. Jose, sit down and join in for a second, man. We're a little bit frazzled here because our phone line's not working, so hold on a second.
How about them Golden Knights? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, we can't. We're talking about that later. That's coming up at 8:20 now. We got to talk about UNLV basketball.
It's just so horrible to talk about them.
Right. Well, no, you know, but we have to. I mean, the Mountain West Tournament comes to Vegas every year. It's a big part of our culture at this time of the season. You have the NCAA tournament automatic bid, and a lot of people think, as it has been the past couple of years in the Mountain West, is a one-bid league. Some of the coaches would argue, obviously the players participating would argue that it's a two- or three-bid league. It's not. I mean, you know, people think Reno might already get in based on the power rankings.
Yeah.
I think Reno, if they don't make it to the championship game, maybe if they did that and lost, they would still get in. But the Mountain West is very low. It's just low on the totem pole as far as the committee goes. And I don't see this team getting two bids. And I'll tell you right now, UNLV, unless that team makes a run and goes to the championship game, which I don't see happening, they might get a CBI bid if they win one game. It'd cost you $50,000 to play in the CBI. They're not sending UNLV.
I don't see going anywhere from here.
No.
I mean, even with the coach, you know, like you always said, it's coaching, and he's not doing, I think, up to his par as far as the kids. I think he's being too lazy. Not lazy, I'm sorry. Just easygoing on them, where a lot of them should be performing much better, or should even be benched for half of the things they're doing, and it's just nothing's happening.
Well, you can't. The thing is, there's only so many kids that can play, and I know Coach Menzies has his finger on the pulse of this team, but the problem is, as far as them performing on the court, man, that's where the problem is. This team just doesn't do it. At both ends of the court, they have had problems with transition defense. They are terrible collapsing under the basket defensively, and then on the offensive end, my God in heaven, Brandon McCoy cannot get through a double team for the life of him, and this is in the Mountain West. If he can't break through a double team and get the ball down in the low post and make things happen, how the hell is he going to do it in the NBA? And yet, I still project him as being a top 25 pick in the NBA. All the scouts still look at him that way.
They're still looking at him, but really right now, like we were
he's a lock. He is a lock to go in the top one. He will leave this year because he will be a first-round draft pick in the NBA. I don't think anyone would dispute that, and it's sad because the money and the lure of the NBA takes these kids away before they're ready. Brandon McCoy definitely needs more seasoning, a lot more. He's going right to the D League when he gets in. There's no way he's playing in the NBA the first year, and he could end up being like a big Zim. I mean, I don't know. I am blown away by what I have seen, the way the season started and the way it ended. Again, with most, and I was talking about this yesterday with Brian Shapiro at the West Coast Conference Tournament. You know, I don't know how a team, and we see this year in and year out at UNLV, and even we were seeing this before Marvin Menzies came, and not putting anything on Dave Rice, but he was the coach before, and they get worse as the season goes on. Most of the time, what you see is you see a progression. You see a team improving as the season goes on. This team gets worse. Yeah. At the beginning of the season, and I was going to tell Bernie, I was listening to one of his old shows, The Rebel Minute, which is awesome. You hear that over on our sister station, ESPN Radio, which is a 98.9 FM. Or what am I saying? It's a 1100 and 100.9 FM. But Bernie has a Rebel Minute that they play periodically throughout the week that he does. And I just listened to what he did on the 4th. I was listening to some old ones. It was a podcast. And he was talking about on the 4th how this team, Brandon McCoy's the centerpiece, that this is not the UNLV team of the past. At the end of the year, they'll be accountable by the amount of wins they have, and hopefully everyone will be happy. I'm sure Bernie would say right now that, yeah, at that point in time, they had just beat San Jose State on the road. It was a closer game than anyone thought it would be. It went to overtime, but they were 1-1 in the conference. That game was on the road, and Bernie still felt, hey, this team does what they do, win, which they were doing in their pre-conference schedule very often.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brian. So you predicted that they would win by like 19. right? Right. You they have 19 wins.
Yes.
And now they do. So now are you happy or do you are you upset? I mean,
well, of course I'm upset. I mean, they had 19 wins 5 games ago
in the beginning
and they've
of the season,
lost.
That's what you were
but
you
that
wanted.
Was, that was before I saw them play the pre-conference season. Everyone after they watched them play the pre-conference season started predicting 22 to 25 wins. They beat Illinois, they beat Utah. They went to overtime with Arizona, nearly won that game. Overtime at Northern Illinois, their first loss. I really thought at that point in time, wow, this could be a 24-25 win team. You know, now, like I said, it would suck almost that they're going to get their 20th win in the buy-in game on Wednesday. I think they'll beat Air Force. I really do think they'll come in and beat Air Force. But then you
I don't know.
Oh, no, the Air Force. Air Force. I mean, UNLV's bad, but Air Force is just not on their level. They don't have the athletes. I can't imagine them playing with us in this game. They could. They could. But the point is UNLV is a disappointment, and that's all I can say. Based on what they did earlier, they're a disappointment. I'll tell you one other thing that really is, which shows that they're a disappointment. When Marvin Menzies drafts, or I should say recruits guys like Brandon McCoy, you know you're recruiting a one-and-done player. When you recruit a one-and-done player, what are you trying to do? You are trying to win right now. You're right. Saying, I'm not building a team for the future. I've got a senior coming in, Jordy Johnson, who had a red shirt, sit out last year so he could transfer. You know, my other guard is a senior, and I'm going to bring in this one-and-done, 7-foot-1 Goliath, McDonald All-American freshman, and we're going to make a run. And at the beginning of the season, it looked like they could, and where are they at now?
Tell me something, Bri. Just between all of us here in the room, okay? Nobody's listening.
And
so just
everybody
between
else.
Just between us girls, right? Okay.
Do you seriously, if it was UNLV against Gorman, what would you put the number?
Oh, man. That's rough,
this
Bobby. That's rough.
This UNLV team today.
This UNLV, if I'm being dead serious, the UNLV team of today is going to beat Gorman by 20 points. Okay, that's being dead serious. If they really
with the effort they put out the past few games,
well, you know, it just
I don't think they could beat the four of us in this room at Ballpark Frank.
But I'm
I'll make her the center.
You know,
I'm telling you, I've watched the last four games. These guys are bleeping horrible.
Yeah, it's.
Well, I'm not that bad at basketball.
Look, you could be the worst bleeping basketball player in the world, but at least if you make some effort, you're going to do okay.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these guys. I mean, look at McCoy. You know, I've seen matadors that don't go ole as well as this guy does.
Well, you know, that's
there are literally matadors in Mexico going, Jesus, I can take lessons from this guy.
Bobby, that's the thing. It is. I say it all the time. I'm watching the game and I'm like, wow. You know what? Moses must be here somewhere. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I keep watching the Red Sea part in the paint every time the other team brings the ball up the floor. Where is our bigs?
Jesus, look at this game they had against Reno. The kid is 6 inches smaller than McCoy, and he's going right into his chest.
Yeah.
And McCoy's like a flower. He's just falling apart on him.
No,
come on.
The Martin brothers were eating him for lunch underneath the basket.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Caroline was so much better, such a better player than Brandon McCoy. Caroline's a junior who they say is definitely an NBA prospect. McCoy is an NBA prospect, guys, no matter how you want to put it. He just is. He's 7-foot-1, and he's going to get drafted in the first round. The point is, are we looking at another Big Zim? Are we looking at another guy who's going to go to the D-League, disappear, and end up maybe in Europe?
Absolutely.
That's what you
no
think?
Question. Yep. No question in my mind. Zimmerman. Now, I mean, McCaw's doing a whole lot of bench time over in Golden State. Who was the kid that was the first round draft pick that was a bust up in Cleveland?
Oh no, you're talking about in Minnesota. For us, you're talking about a couple of years ago. Yeah, well,
yeah, he was some
Anthony,
big deal.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, there
Anthony
you go.
Bennett,
What's he doing these days?
Well, he's still playing basketball, but I think where was he at, in Europe or something? Now I know D League. You know, it's a good question, Bobby.
I think he's coaching some team over in like some high school in Wyoming.
That was a there's busts all around. That was one of the biggest busts in the first round.
This kid ain't going to be a bust. For Christ's sake, he can't play any defense. What's he going to do?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I said, now, do you think if Brandon McCoy stayed in school another year, maybe two, what
better
do you
be three.
Okay, but
seriously, better be three. This kid needs a whole lot of coaching.
Yeah, well, that But there maybe there's the X factor right there. Could that be it right now? Because a lot of the issues I see with UNLV, watching them play basketball, are cerebral. When you have, because the talent, you know what, I want to clarify this. T.C. Martin said this last night at the game, and I agree with him. He was saying, you know, quit saying they're one of the more talented teams in the Mountain West. What they are is they're one of the more athletic teams in the Mountain West. A good coach takes great athletes and turns them into talent. And these guys are just good athletes still. And here we are towards, well, the season's over. It is literally a one-and-done situation for them now, and they're in trouble. And at the beginning of the season, you wouldn't have thought that, say, 10 games into the pre-conference schedule, you would not have thought that this team would potentially be going out in the first round. And potentially, I don't think it's going to happen, but potentially going in the first round to Air Force.
I got bad news for you. This season was over last Wednesday against Reno. This season was over about a week and a half ago against San Diego State when they lost by 31.
How did they win that game up in Reno? They come back, and granted, we thought they were very lethargic against Air Force and played a bad game. We all thought, okay, it's a little bit of a letdown.
It was a fluke.
Well, they were so emotionally high against Reno that you thought, okay, that's a little bit of a letdown, but they'll start playing a game. Then they go to San Diego State and get absolutely humiliated there by a team they beat at the Thomas and Mack.
Right.
Okay? They go to the Pit in New Mexico. Now, that's the only game they've played in the last five that was a decent game that I thought was very poorly officiated. And I got to tell you something, and I'm, you know, hey, I'm a homer and all that like the rest of us, Bobby, but my goodness, you know, John Sandler, do me a favor, please, brother. Every foul is not a bad foul. Every single, you know, when you can't see the game, Bobby, when I'm watching it from home, I'm listening to the radio, because I listen to every game. And I'm thinking, these officials must be blind, because every call is, oh my God, that is the worst call. And I'm not putting the guy down. He's animated. He gets excited. But in the same respect, there's good calls. I mean, they're officials. They make mistakes. But every call, Bobby's not a mistake, right?
Well, that's the point of Robert Smith. I mean, Sandler goes out into left field, and then Robert Smith kind of throws the fishing pole and reels him on back in. That's all.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the yin and yang to sports broadcasting.
Well,
I'm just making this up. I have no idea.
I know what you're saying. I was going to say there's a lot of yang going on. There maybe needs to be a little more yin.
There's a whole lot of yang over there, but I ain't going to say a word.
There's no yin. Well, listen, you know, I think they're going to win the buy-in game against Air Force. I do believe that.
I don't think so.
You think that they're going one and done?
Yeah.
It's not a bold prediction at this point in time at
Honestly,
all.
Honestly, I think it's finito.
Go ahead, Jose. What do you got?
So my question, if they do lose this game, why will they lose the game?
Well, for the same reason they've lost several other games. They will not be properly prepared to play the game. And that's it. They'll come out in the second half with the same game plan they had in the first half. They'll make no adjustments, where Air Force will come out and make a few adjustments. You see that in almost every game. So, again, like I said, this typically to me, every game when I see the issues, they're cerebral. How in the world does Javon Mooring, a kid we like, I've talked to many times, how in the world is he still allowed to take 33-foot jump shots with 20 seconds to go on the shot clock when they're down six against Reno? It's the first half, they were down six. And he goes and takes about a 30-foot jumper with 17, 18 seconds to go on the shot clock. Reno gets the rebound, goes right back down and hits a three, and it's a 9-point game. And you've got 20 seconds and a guy 7'1" down low, and you're going to chuck one up from the rafters with a ton of time to go on the clock. That when that happens, a coach, I don't care what player it is, a coach calls you over, you sit your ass down next to him, and they say, here's the deal. Watch the game. The next time you throw up a 3-point uncontested with over 10 seconds on the shot, I'm going to tattoo your name into the seat next to me, because that's where you're going to be sitting. You take a contested three, it should be with 4 seconds or less on the shot clock, and you take an uncontested three, maybe 10 seconds or less, unless it is so wide open, you're a pure shooter, and they're standing there daring you to take it. That's when you try the triple. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you don't play hero ball and chuck it up from the rafters with a shot clock, and that's been bothering me all season. It bothered us last year, and history's repeating itself.
Well, if you got so many bigs on this team, why don't you put it in the paint?
Well, of course, that's the whole thing. That's what we're talking about, Bobby. How come the ball doesn't go down low? I'm telling all these kids, you know what? As dumb as it sounds, let's go watch Hoosiers and watch the way Norman Gale, 4 passes minimum. And what did Rafe didn't take? He got down there, shot, made a nice long bomb, and what did he get? He got the bench.
Yep, exactly. I mean, just from what I was listening to yesterday. It was the same thing with yesterday's game. Utah State. They kept up for a couple, and then Utah hit a couple of threes, and UNLV wilted like a flower.
You can, and, you know, I didn't see the game. You know, I was just listening, but you can almost feel it listening to the radio. And I was at the Western Coast Conference and just watching it on the screen actually. But you can just feel it, like, oh my God, they got close, and then they're down 11, they're down 12 again. You could feel them.
And
on the
court. Soon as that happened, you knew damn well this thing was over.
Yeah, they put their heads
down because they have nothing. They have no testicular fortitude to get back into this thing and make a run.
Where's resiliency? Isn't that something good teams have, good quality teams have?
Let's just start with defense. Yeah. You know, just get one bleeping stop. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, seriously, good point. Listen, we are going to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. That's definitely coming up around the corner. Just nothing we can do. I'm going to get a hold of Ken Callow. I'll try to get him on another day if we can. It's unfortunate right now. We're running bad with the phone lines. But we still will hear Marc-Andre Fleury on the other side of the break. We will have our nightcap and the Pennzoil 400 going down at LVMS today, and
how
we will
exciting.
Be there. Yeah, we're going to be there, man. Facebook Live. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. This is the radio home of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Hey, you and Nightcap, Marc-Andre Fleury. It's a three-game losing streak. You've been through these wars. You've been through in the NHL a while. This is just something that happens. How big of a deal is it?
You know, you never want to lose, right? It's it sucks, you know, but it's part of the game. And, you know, I think we got to learn from this, you know, from what's going on. And we've got to find ways to bring our game back the way we want to play as quickly as possible, you know, because, you know, going down the road, you know, if we lose a game or two here and there, we've got to be able to learn from it and move forward quickly, you know, and come back positive on the next day and get back to our game as quickly as possible.
Going on the road for five games now. Are you kind of happy to get on the road? You've been home for a while. You had the one game in L.A., but other than that, Pretty much 9 out of 10 games at home. Is it going to be good for you guys to get on the road?
Yeah, I think always good, right? It's a lot of traveling, right? A little bit of time difference here at first in the trip, but it's good, though. Guys get to spend more time together, right? It's good for bonding, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to play some good teams too. So we had a good trip last time. We were on the road for a while, and we're going to do the same here.
You're one of the leaders of this team. What do you say to the guys right now to get them ready for this road trip and to get everyone back focused and say, hey, that game's over with, on to the next?
Probably nothing tonight, you know. Sleep on it. Nobody's happy about it, right? And that's fine. Tomorrow's a new day, you know. Wake up and get back at it, you know. Get back, have a strong practice, and get back to our good, you know, good habits that we've been playing lately, and we'll be fine.
Marc-Andre Fleury in goal, and he's lost the last two times he's been in the net. You know, he's a great goaltender, guys. And the big thing, you know, I've been having this conversation so often lately about the Golden Knights. And, oh, my God, it's a three-game losing streak. Oh, my God, they picked up Ryan Reeves from Pittsburgh, this dirty player that hits everybody and gets in the penalty box, causes problems. Oh, my God, who is this Tomas Tatar from the Detroit Red Wings? Here's what I'm going to say to all of you before I even comment on any of that garbage. How can anybody out there question a move George McPhee is making for this team at this point with what they've accomplished right now? This guy is a mastermind. He is a Herbie Brooks protege, as we've talked about, who masterminded the 1980 Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice, and he is putting pieces together that fit. Ryan Reeves might be the best fighter in the NHL. I don't believe I'll agree with Bernie Fratto, something me and him talked about the other day. Ryan Reeves probably won't be here at this time next year. But for right now, this year, this team, he is great. Even if Gallant only plays him a couple of minutes a game, his presence alone is intimidating.
Exactly. That's right? What he's supposed to be doing. And at the same point, We're still Pacific Division. We're still number one. So.
Walk into Mr. Happy.
Oh.
There we go.
No, we're still in our division, Pacific Division. We're still number one. So I don't understand why everyone's freaking out.
Well, we've gotten spoiled. We all think when we go to the arena now that they're gonna win. We think it's a given. The Knights should win whenever they step on the ice. And I like the fact that we're spoiled that way. I don't think it's a bad thing that people have this positive attitude and these high expectations that we should never would have dreamed of having at this time when the team started, when we were putting this team together last spring.
Fans got very fast.
And the truth of the matter is, and hey, I'm not, you know, I said this to Bernie. I'll say this to anybody out there. Most people I talk to, I'm not going to get mad at fans of Las Vegas for not completely understanding hockey. It is not a huge sport on the West Coast. It's definitely been the little sister of the three sports or the four majors forever. It is still out here. Well, now there's a team. Everyone's excited. It's become the big to do, the thing to do, the socialite experience. And everyone goes to the game and they expect them to win. And they see this guy Tatar hitting people, threatening people, fighting people, and most importantly, going to the box, and they'll see a power play goal against the Golden Knights, and they think, wow, we've got a bad player. This is going to disrupt our chemistry. The chemistry might be a little tiny bit off right now. It's not Ryan Reeves. Trust me. He is an intricate part of what they're trying to do for a playoff run. Right. He was picked up so this team could get some brawn. Derek England, I'm not going to say he's not a tough guy. Derek England's a tough guy in the NFL to a degree, but he's not known as a fighter. He's not known as an enforcer. He's known as a guy that can hold his own, not a guy that's going to go out and mix it up.
I honestly can't wait for him to like really start playing.
Well,
because then we're going to start really seeing some active hockey.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what we need out here. Some real good defense, like crazy fights, and that's.
I mean, what we need right now is to keep
winning. I want to see people ripping heads off. Like that's some really good hockey.
Well, here's here's what I want to see. I think I want to see what everyone else wants to see. I want to see a Stanley Cup. I mean, that would be really, really cool. And I think, you know,
the way to go there is ripping heads off.
The way to go there is definitely there's a level of physicality in the playoffs that I think every team has to be prepared for. And I don't know that the Golden Knights weren't prepared for that, but it picks up a step. Every postseason in every sport, they pick it up. They step up a notch.
Right.
And they haven't done that here. The people haven't seen that here. They might have watched hockey and checked it out, but now they're going to be watching it passionately. This is their team. Mm-hmm. And they do not realize that when you step up a notch as your team, physicality is one of the notches that says everybody's hitting harder. Everybody's going crazy. You're trying to establish yourself. You're playing the same team over and over again. In the first round, 5 games, and from that point forward, it's always 7 games. It is tedious. You get to hate the other, especially if it goes to a 7-game series. You've played each other for the last week and a half every other night. You hate the guys on the other team. And there has to be physicality, and the Knights are a finesse hockey team, which is no issues with me. I love it. I love seeing pure skating ability, which they have. Things like what we've seen with William Karlsson, that first line, Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. I am amazed at what those guys have accomplished, how great their chemistry is. Their plus-minus rating is the best in the National Hockey League. It is so much fun. But again, in playoff hockey, you're going to need a guy like Ryan Reeves. And let me tell you a little bit about Tomas Tatar, people, the guy that they picked up from the Red Wings at the trading deadline. He is such a great pickup. This is a guy that will hopefully remain a Golden Knight. He will fit in just the same way Ryan Carpenter is. Tatar is a skilled hockey player. He can put the puck between the pipes, and believe me, you will like this guy. You fell in love with Ryan Carpenter. If you people knew who Ryan Carpenter was and what he was doing prior to becoming a Golden Knight, he was on the scratch list every night for the San Jose Sharks, and they picked him up on waivers. They were letting him go, basically. They were sending him down, and the Golden Knights are like, no, you're not. We'll take him.
Right.
And the San Jose Sharks have to be kicking themselves in the ass every day now when they watch Ryan Carpenter continue to score goals, continue to be active in front of the net. He is an exciting player. You're going to see the same thing from Tomas Tatar. Ryan Reeves is never going to give you more than maybe 5 goals or 6 goals in a season. What he's going to do is he is going to keep the peace. He is going to stop maybe an enforcer. They're saying, man, somebody take William Karlsson out of the game. Okay, we got to disrupt him and bother him. That's going to go on for a little while. Then Gallant will put Ryan Reeves on the ice, and the guy that's bothering William Karlsson will be bothered. Right. That's part of the game of hockey, and that's what you're going to see, people. So please, please, please give George McPhee and these Knights a shot. They're going on the road for 5 games. Don't expect much. They could lose 4 more games in a row. They're going to make the postseason regardless of what happens. And I'm going to say this, and I'll repeat it every time, no matter if they have a 12-game losing streak right now. This season has been magical. We have been treated to something very special in Las Vegas. Really embrace this, enjoy it, and accept it for what it is. It is almost miraculous. You don't see this from an expansion team very often. As a matter of fact, if you look at their overall record, you never see this from an expansion team because it's never happened. You are listening to Out of Line. I'm Brian. She's Missy. We got Jose. We got Bobby. We got no guests because we got no phone lines. But we will be right back.
White flag in the air, 1 lap to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank.
That yellow flag was Kyle Larson's best friend. There was no way he was going to make it on fuel without it. He got the yellow flag, reset with new tires and fuel, was able to make the most of these restarts, and here he is driving away with just a half a lap to go to bring home a Vegas win.
His first win at Las Vegas, going to be a dominating performance. 142 of 200 laps led. Here comes Kyle Larson. He's a winner in Sin City.
You know what that sound is? It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have 2 happy hours every single day, so you don't miss out. It is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. A lot of people will be checking out NASCAR tomorrow, or I should say today, at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can go there, eat all day, relax, watch the races on all the big screens. We, of course, will be watching the races live down at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway today. That race starts at 12:30 this afternoon. It is the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. And, of course, that is the Monster Series. It's incredible, man. This race, if you haven't been down to NASCAR and you haven't checked it out, you've never gone there, I'm not like a Grease Monkey fan and all that stuff. I went in 2004. I was invited by the company when I first moved out here, got to go to the race. I had never been to a NASCAR race. I'd only been to open wheel. I'd been to a couple Indy 500s. I went to the Michigan 500 that was also open wheel Indy
cars. What do you like about them?
I just like, to me, you know what it always was?
I think they're a little different, but...
But you know what it is, Missy? What I didn't like about NASCAR initially before, when I was ignorant and I didn't know, I'd never been to a race.
Right.
I thought that Indy cars and Grand Prix cars look like race cars, right? That's what I picture race cars. NASCARs look like automobiles that are zooped up, you know, because and all it is a body over a monstrous machine. But the perception is they look like, you know, zooped up cars. As a kid growing up, that's the way I thought about it. Where Indy cars look like race cars. That's really was it until I went to a NASCAR race. And in 04, I went to the first one out here, my first race, NASCAR race ever in Vegas, and I got hooked immediately.
Did you do the slow tear? Like, this is amazing?
Oh, yeah, I might have cried. I might have cried. I might have cried a little bit. I mean, I was like, wow, I found another sport to love. One more. Let's add it to ping pong and beach volleyball.
I used to play ping pong in high school.
Yeah, well, Brian Shapiro's a really good ping pong player from what I hear.
Oh, really?
Ridiculously good. Yeah, no, the bottom line, he probably beat you playing with his teeth.
Why does everyone think they're going to beat me? You know what?
Because I saw the look in her.
You guys do not understand my skills.
Did you not
okay?
see the look in her face, Jose, that she was about to say, I should take Brian Shapiro on in a game of ping pong? And I saved her the humiliation by saying, guy would beat you with his teeth. He would put the paddle in his teeth and beat you. That's why you don't want to play a guy. When someone says they're really good at something, you avoid taking them on in a sport. Like, basketball is perfect that they take me on in. The one sport I never really played. It's a good sport to take me on in. You wouldn't want to take me on, say, like hockey. Because I've been skating since I was a little kid. You would lose.
I mean, I used to skate in the city.
But it's a little different than a guy who's played a lot of hockey in his life. So the point is, Shapiro was like he sleeps with his ping pong paddle. Okay, so.
Oh, well, yeah. That's
a whole other story, right? Okay, so. But I'm just
guessing.
Well, I hear he's good enough that's what. Anyways, regarding the race, NASCAR race, really cool. On Friday night, they had their very first ever. It was the Xfinity was the NASCAR Truck Series, and it's actually I think it's called the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, what they call it, the Stratosphere 200, and they raced the NASCAR trucks. Really cool. Kyle Busch, Las Vegas native, won the inaugural race on Friday night, which was really cool. Took first place in that one, and driving the Toyota 51 car. And then, of course, yesterday, I was going to say, you know what's really hot? When I said blazing, how about the name Kyle right now? Because Kyle Busch won the Friday night race, and Kyle Larson, who was at the Vegas Golden Knights game on Friday night, they kept showing him on the big screen. He wound up the noisemaker. He was late partying. And what does he do? He wakes up the next day and goes and wins the Xfinity Series Boyd Gaming 300 at LVMS after we saw him Saturday night. I should say Friday night, excuse me, at T-Mobile Arena. Pretty cool. But the name Kyle, you had Kyle Busch win the Stratosphere 200, and you had a Kyle Larson. It's not like Kyle's the most common name in the world. But so that being said, who's going to win the Pennzoil 400 today? Let's give you a few predictions. I talked to Kurt Busch, as you know, I talked to him last week. Busch said if it's not him or Kyle, and Kyle did win a race, that he said the same guy that won it last year, although it was called something different last year. It was called the Cobalt 400 last year. But if he won that one, Martin Truex Jr. won that race last year. And Kurt Busch said he just really runs well on LVMS. Now, when we had Jeff Motley on the show last week, his prediction was, man, Brad Kozlowski runs it. And Kozlowski's won it a couple times. He really is. His style of driving is fit for the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. It's a larger oval, and these guys fly, and Kozlowski is just a great driver on this track. So he wouldn't be a bad prediction. Jimmy Johnson, when the race first was out here the first couple of years, he was dominating this track. He was dominating the series. He's kind of gone away. But Johnson is, let's see, I'm looking at the starting position. Kyle Larson, by the way, today starting in fifth position. So after winning yesterday, he raced pretty good in the qualifying for this race, and is racing in fifth position. He could come out of that. There are some decent drivers that are up there. You've got Ryan Blaney, who won the pole. Pretty cool. I heard he was flying around the track. Kevin Harvick is just not a guy you want to mess with. That is one of the best drivers on the circuit right now. And Kurt Busch, man, who we had on the show last Sunday, is sitting as in third position right now. He's third, and man, I would love to see. There's nobody I would like to see win this race more than him, being a Las Vegas native, and he has just had such bad luck every year at LVMS in this race. I'd love to see Kurt Busch do it. And then, you know, Kyle Busch, I think, is like 12th. Let's see where he's at. I put him down. Kyle Busch is 13th, so you could have another Kyle win this one. Jose, I'm going to let you start this off. Prediction. You said you had a prediction for us, so go ahead. Who's winning the Pennzoil 400 today and why?
So from what I've seen so far, I like the fact that Joey Logano is starting in the 10th spot. He started in the 6th spot last year and finished 4th. So the fact that he's starting in the back of the pack, in my opinion, is a good thing. If you look at the history with all of the races here at LVMS, majority of the races have gone by that the winner has started in the top 10 or outside of the top 10. So not just because you're number one in the poll or you're top 10 in the poll does not mean that you're the fastest guy overall and you can win. It's not about speed. It's about looking ahead, what the drivers are doing ahead of you, what moves you're going to do down the race, and see where you're going to get. So in my opinion, I like Joey Logano. I think he can win this race. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's the points leader currently right now.
He's up there. Wow. You know what it sounds like Jose just described when he was talking about everything? He was describing patience, and the vision, which is what called what? Anticipation. It sounds like we're doing a Heinz ketchup commercial. Anticipation. Right? I mean,
I hate ketchup.
So Joey Logano, if they're under the age of 40, they have no idea, do they, Bobby? None. None.
I know it.
Really, Jose, you didn't know? You never heard that with Heinz ketchup?
No.
Anticipation. Well, you know what it was?
It was
so thick and delicious, supposedly. It took forever to pour out of the bottle. So they would say anticipation. Yeah, it was gross. But the bottom line is
man.
You talk about ketchup and oh my goodness. I have a heavy, heavy stomach, I'll tell you what. But when you say the word ketchup,
you know what's funny is that's amazing because I despise ketchup.
We have something in common.
Raw tomatoes and ketchup, man, are among the grossest thing on the face of the earth to me. So that's Joey Logano.
Sauce.
Joey Logano from now on will be referred to as Heinz Ketchup. Okay. He has good anticipation. He anticipates what's going to happen in front of him. And, you know, it's a good reason. Like, Missy, who do you like to win the race today? Have you looked at anyone?
You know what? I don't know. This is my first season, so I kind of just want to you know, peruse
well, pick,
it.
Pick a Las Vegas native. Say Kurt Busch.
Well, that's what you want me to say. Of course. But, you know,
that's why I want to win, but I'm
right,
not picking
so you
it.
Want me to pick yeah. who you want.
I'm not
but,
picking
you know,
it.
I don't know. I really wanted to see it, feel it out. And next year, I think I'll have a better understanding.
You'll get it better? You'll,
yeah.
You'll,
I'm not going to just, you know, go and bet on somebody when I don't really know.
All right, well.
So.
Okay, well, it's like throwing darts, you know? Somebody that, so, like you know, it's like that person. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like that person that wins the pool every year for the NCAA tournament. Oh, you know what? Florida International sounds so good. I'm going to have them beating Georgetown as the number 15 seed. Because doesn't that sound like a nice place to go?
What's that movie with
And
Bobby?
They go to the Sweet 16.
I'll tell you how it works around here.
Okay.
Okay, we have our little pools.
Oh, I know you do.
You know who wins the damn thing every year? The office girl who goes by the color of the helmet.
Yeah, right?
Really?
Every year.
You've got guys in this building that study sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Couldn't pick their nose with a back scratcher.
They couldn't get laid with a $100 bill in a whorehouse, but they'll tell you everything you need to know about football and baseball and basketball.
All right, well, if we're going to go that way.
You know who wins the damn thing? The chick in the office that goes, oh, I like that color helmet. Ching.
Yeah. All right, like, all right. Whoever's wearing Yankee blue, boom.
Well, there's only about 30 teams that wear Yankee blue that'll be playing in the NCAA tournament, so it's going to be a hell of a dogfight this year.
I know. Well, you know what? What was that? What's that movie? Well, if you're not first, you're last, Bobby.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you looking at me? I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's your show. I'm just watching a clock. Tick, tick, tick. Come on,
I'm
going to
tell
get
you, you know, I do like who Jeff Motley said, because I'll take my pick, and I do like Martin Truex Jr. a lot, but I'm going to go a little bit different. In the seventh position, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is, you know, he's been racing well lately. He raced well in Atlanta. I think that he's got the goods. For some reason, I think he's going to win today. And you know, I'll tell you who Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is, because I know you don't know. He's Danica Patrick's boyfriend, has been for a long time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So Ricky, he's got the pedal to the metal, right?
Yeah. There we go.
There we go.
Heavy metal.
Miss GoDaddy herself, man. That is her that is her man right there,
that's
Ricky
awesome.
Stenhouse Jr. So I'm picking
and she's
him.
She's pretty awesome. Let's just talk about her for a minute.
Yeah, it'd be nice. She's won one race in her career, so I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's better than some others that have participated.
Danica Patrick. I don't know how you can drive, though. In a normal car after this. It's like, I would get pulled over all the time, which I do anyway.
You know what's funny?
Driving as a New Yorker, no, let's be honest.
That one. Yeah.
You can't imagine her getting pulled over,
oh,
right?
I'm so aggressive, nah, driver. It's out of control.
Bro, no, all she had to say was New York. I'm like, up there.
Yeah
right?
I mean,
you own the road.
These people are here.
They
can't
own,
drive, can they?
Bobby, they own the road.
They're right.
If you're from New York, you own part of the highway.
Boston, New York, Philadelphia. We're all the bleeping same as far as that goes.
Yeah,
we understand
exactly.
Completely.
I'm like, what does this guy do? All right. Like
I bet
lanes.
The strongest muscle on your hand is your middle finger just from driving. Am I right? Tell the truth.
Bobby's a stuck. Bobby, from driving in Boston when he was younger, his middle finger got stuck in the air.
Oh, no,
it's stuck in the air.
No. Back then, I used to drive around with the baseball bat.
Oh, you did? So that was that
served. I did quarters. I grew up with quarters. You have quarters on the side, and you roll down the window, and you throw them. Okay.
Well, we can do the same
and
thing
that,
with batteries.
That's what we used to do.
See, batteries at least will break the window, or at least crack the window. Quarters, they get out and go looking for the money.
Quarters will break, trust me.
Well,
by the way,
for a mental note, if you're ever going to put a baseball bat in your car for such purposes, always have a glove and ball in the back of the car with it.
that
your lawyer will thank you.
Right. you were playing ball last night.
Absolutely.
Just forgot to take it out
great
of the
advice,
car. You left.
Yes, I learned that after the first one.
The
lawyer took me aside. Hey, from now on, keep a glove.
Keep a glove and a ball in your car. You're playing baseball. The bat just happened to be there. He got a little close to my bumper, and it happened to hit him.
It was a strange. It hit the spring in the sea and bounced out through the window, rebounded off the telephone pole, and went right off his head.
Yeah,
I filmed it.
It's
I've
sort
never
of like,
seen
having,
like
having
that.
A nine iron.
I've never seen anything
officer,
like it.
I don't know where the rest of my bag went, but that nine iron.
Yeah, I got to believe road rage.
No, that's the one you're bringing it back from getting it refitted at the club store.
Yes, exactly.
I can only imagine road rage on the East Coast, man. It's got to be just brutal.
Oh, it's nuts.
It's got to be brutal.
It's not
you see
an
how
Abercrombie.
Sweet I am now? Forget it.
Yeah,
you put me in a vehicle.
It's got to be
it's
brutal.
Like, night and day.
It's got to be brutal. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it. I've never, believe it or not, never been to New York City, and it's got to be brutal.
Yeah, really? That has to change. Got,
you know, You've never been to New York?
You know, Bobby,
What the hell's the matter with you?
You know what's crazy? I tell people this. I'm from Detroit. I've been to Hawaii 9 times, and I've never been to New York City. How's that possible?
Opening day. Come with me. We've been thinking about that.
But dude, New York is a fantastic town.
No, I'm going to get there. Believe me, before I leave this planet, it's a bucket list item. I will get to the Big Apple.
Even me just passing through 2 or 3 times. I love that town.
I do want to check it out.
And
it's
great because you have all 4 seasons in it. Every 4 seasons, there's another sporting event to go to. There's always something to do in the city.
Well, believe me, there's always
we had
4 seasons in Detroit, too. And there's always something to do in Detroit, too. And like getting killed, you know, that's always something to do there as well.
Comparison.
So.
I'm just saying.
Winter, and construction.
Yeah. Detroit, it's real simple. You get up in the morning, and you know what? It's going to be weatherman. Like I said, weatherman here is easy. It's simple. You know, you kick your dog Doppler, and. let's see. It's going to be sunny, and there might be a cloud or two in the sky. Detroit, it's like it's going to be gray. It's going to be gray. That's what it's going to be.
That's why I live in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It took me 42 years to get out of that godforsaken place. And when I go back to visit, I love it. When I'm going back to Detroit, I got a big smile on my face, and everyone's all depressed. They're coming home from vacation. I'm going on it.
Right.
This is my home. So we're just about out of time here. The Vegas Golden Knights are getting ready for a 5-game road trip that starts today. So
the Devils.
We got about 3 minutes left to go. So yeah, they're in New Jersey today to play the Devils.
Dirty
it starts.
Jersey.
5-game road trip. I'll tell you what. This, I think, is going to be good for them. I really do. You know, the time changes a little bit. They've got that 3 hours difference from going to the East Coast, but I think it's really good for them. We'll see today.
I see a W out of them. I really do.
I think they are going to win today against New Jersey, too. Yeah, I do.
And ironically, when they come back home, they'll be playing the Devils as well.
Yeah, their first game back, I think it's a week from Monday or something like that. I think it's a week from Monday.
No, they're on a 5-game trip. They're going for a good week and a half.
I think, actually, Bobby, it's crazy. They're packing the games in this week. There's like 4 games this week for the Golden Knights. They're packing them in.
Dude, I'm the board.
I know you.
I
know you do. But I think the Devils are, middle of next week then, right?
Devils are first.
Because
I know
Devils,
they've got
Blue Jacks,
Buffalo Sabres
Red Wings,
are coming up
Sabres,
next week.
Sabres, Flyers, then Devils again.
Yeah, there's a couple of those that aren't going to be cakewalks. By the way,
none of us.
The Sabres are not very good this year. Devils are nowhere near the team they used to be. But there's a couple of them. Philly's not going to let them get away with nothing.
No, I agree.
Not at home.
It's actually Wednesday the 14th when they come back. So you're right. Obviously, he's right. He does work the board for him. But truth of the matter is, I don't think any game's easy anymore. I think that every team, the Golden Knights have a target on them now. You're getting handed it to you by an expansion team. They've got a target on them now, and everybody wants to beat them. So no more games are easy. Ottawa came in here. They're not having the season that they did last year. You're not going to see them make a run for the Stanley Cup again like they did last year where they lost in the conference finals. But they came in here, and Vegas would score. They'd score again. It's a little eerie. I think they bust out of it today in New Jersey, and they get off the snide. They get rid of this losing streak, and they start moving forward again. They're now the 4th best team in hockey based on points, which is crazy. Yeah. You got 4 teams in front of them now. You got Tampa in front of them. Obviously, the
Lightning.
Predators and the Pittsburgh, the Boston Bruins. Those 3 teams are right now in front of the Vegas Golden Knights point-wise, but people, they'll be fine. They'll be good. NASCAR again, 12:30 out at LVMS, and UNLV plays Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock in the morning against the Air Force Academy. I'm Brian. She's Missy. Say bye.
Bye.
He's Jose working the camera. Say bye.
Have a good
and Bobby
day.
Will say, Bobby didn't have to say anything. Bobby's back there. There
Bobby.
We go. Bobby's working the baseball bat again in Boston. So, hey, listen, we'll be back same time, same place next week, 8 to 9, right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. We are the home of the Vegas Golden Knights on the radio in the Valley. We'll see ya.